Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron's not here today. I think he's got his son's first ever pitching assignment as a little leaguer. So he's excited. So that's what he's doing today. But anyway, I'm Lita.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're happy to welcome back D-Rec. As you may recall, D-Rec is a DJ, an advocate, and an author. D-Rec's joining us today to talk about a specific congenital heart defect known as, okay, this is a mouthful, transposition of the great arteries. Welcome to the show, D-Rec.
Hi, D-Rec.
Hey, Jean. Hey, Lita.
Nice to see you again.
Well, nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, one of these days we'll have it with the video, but not yet.
Okay.
Before we get started, I think we should review the parts of the heart with our listeners. D-Rec, do you think you could paint us a visual?
I can try. The heart is a muscular organ about the size of a fist.
A baby has the heart as big of a fist?
No, a baby's heart is as big as a baby's fist.
Oh, that's tiny.
Yeah, but it should have the same layout as when you are an adult. It actually grows with you. Mm-hmm. But as I was saying, it's a muscular organ and is located just behind and slightly left of the sternum, the bone which runs down the front of your chest and connects both sides of your ribs.
Okay.
So now that you know where it is and how big or small the heart is, it has four chambers,
mm-hmm.
or two compartments. These two chambers or compartments are on the top and on the bottom.
Okay.
The top chambers are called atriums, and the bottom ones are called ventricles. Did I lose anybody yet?
No, we're still here. I'm trying to visualize this. That's going good. So it's an organ made of muscle, and it has four chambers or compartments, and the top two are called atriums, and the bottom two chambers are referred to as ventricles.
Great. Okay, now the right atrium receives blood from the veins and pumps it into the right ventricle. So it squeezes and pushes the blood it just got from the top to the bottom. This needs oxygen because it just went through the whole body and left little oxygen molecules along the way.
Okay.
The different parts of the body, to help the different parts of the body stay alive. The left atrium receives the oxygenated blood from the lungs and pumps it down to the left ventricle. The left ventricle, which is the strongest part of the heart, pumps the oxygen-rich blood back to the rest of the body.
Okay.
The left ventricle has vigorous contractions that create our blood pressure.
Oh, okay. But where does the blood from the right ventricle go? The oxygen-depleted blood that it just got from the right atrium? Is that where? I don't know what's going on here. It can't just sit there.
It pumps that blood directly to the lungs to be oxygenated and start the entire process again, which that blood then will go back around through the body, oxygenating our muscles and organs. And
okay,
that's the way everything works.
Got it.
Okay. And D-Rec, I've heard of having a congenital heart defect before. One of my cousins was born with an atrial septal defect, which is actually pretty common, but I'd never heard of transposition of the great arteries. It sounds like it should be an opera or,
sounds good.
It has a very grand name.
It does.
Can you fill us in as far as what this entails and how it's affected you?
Well, the simplest explanation of transposition of the great arteries is that the two main arteries carrying blood away from the heart are reversed.
Okay, so that means the blood flow cycle is stuck either with body to heart to body without being routed to the lungs for oxygen, or lungs to heart to lungs without delivering the oxygen to the body? Damn. Which one did you have, do you know?
I had body, heart, body.
Okay, yikes.
Wow.
Well, what symptoms did you have with that defect, and how did the medical team know that you were suffering from this condition?
Well, my family first recognized that when I would cry, my lips would turn blue.
Okay.
And at a three-month checkup is when the actual defect was discovered. And babies that are born with transposition were, back in the 80s, were generally known as blue babies.
Okay.
Because of the lips changing that color. If there's no connection between the left and right side of the heart to allow the blue and red blood cells to mix, baby can usually survive for only a short time, days to weeks. Some type of surgical treatment is needed to allow the survival throughout childhood and into adulthood. That's why virtually all adults with this condition have had some type of surgery. The adult often has a number of medical problems related to these previous surgeries, as well as problems that cannot be repaired through surgery.
Okay, I can't imagine what your parents thought when they heard that type of news. That has to be terrifying to know that your newborn has to have heart surgery. Have your folks ever talked to you about it?
Yes, they've talked to me about it a lot because it was, I went to just a local doctor for a three-month checkup and was immediately sent to Augusta, Georgia, to a cardiologist.
Okay.
And I was in surgery within maybe 2 days.
Wow. Wow. And what type of heart surgery would repair this type of a defect?
Well, there are a couple different ones. There are two major types of surgery that can correct the transposition. The first was developed in the late 1950s. It creates a tunnel, a baffle between the atria, and this redirects the oxygen-rich blood to the right ventricle and aorta and oxygen-poor blood to the left ventricle and pulmonary artery. This operation is called an atrial or venous switch. It's also called a mustard procedure or the thinning procedure.
Okay.
The second type is called the atrial switch operation. It wasn't done routinely until the mid-1980s, where the aorta and pulmonary arteries are switched back to their normal position. The aorta is connected to the left ventricle, and the pulmonary arteries are connected to the right ventricle.
Okay.
The coronary arteries, which carry the oxygen-rich blood that nourishes the heart muscle, also need to be reattached to the new aorta.
Wow.
The atrial switch is now the preferred operation.
And how about for you?
And I had the one main surgery, and I had the mustard procedure.
Okay.
Baffle.
Okay. So that was all you had at the time, right? As a baby?
Yes, I had they did the mustard procedure, and during that procedure they interrupted the sternotic node.
Okay.
Which is the electrical system of the heart.
And what year was
when
this?
This is 85.
85. Okay. Okay.
And when they interrupted the sternotic node, that needed a pacemaker implanted. So I've had pacemakers ever since I was 3 months old.
Oh.
Yeah, and actually in your book, Operation DREC, you mentioned that, you know, like you felt the best when the pacemaker actually stopped working. Whereas when I first was, you know, reading through it and learning about you, I was wondering if you became a DJ because you've always been, you know, going with an electronic beat.
Oh.
But
maybe.
That's kind of,
yeah.
It might sound very silly.
Well, anyway.
Okay. So have you had to have, in addition to, do you have to ever have that adjusted or corrected as you grow older and your heart it gets bigger? Does it have to be redone at any time?
The only thing that has to be done is the pacemakers need to be replaced because the batteries wear out.
And
it's basically an MP3 player. That keeps a log of what your heart does. And you go to, when you go to a cardiologist, they're able to look into it and get the memory from it and see what all has happened. in between appointments, and then your medical care goes from whatever those reports show.
Okay. Hmm. And they can make adjustments accordingly.
Yeah, that's great. Wow. And then because you had this problem, did it restrict your activities as you were growing up?
It didn't. I had, my mom was really, really cautious because an infant pacemaker was placed in my stomach. So at the bottom of my stomach for 15 years, the first three pacemakers were all put in my belly, infant pacemakers. And so any kind of sports were pretty much ruled out because if it was to get hit or, sure, you know, just any kind of a hard bump, would it could have messed something up.
Sure, sure.
Well, yeah, I don't blame your mom at all.
No, I mean, I would be overprotective too.
Yeah. And are there any other complications that can be, you know, can you have as a result of this procedure?
For me, my biggest complication right now is I'm having problems with atrial flutter.
Okay.
That's my biggest problem. And what's being talked about is the possibility of adding two more pacemaker leads in my chest.
Wow.
And having my heart totally paced.
Okay.
Because right now, the top two chambers are the only two that are paced.
Okay.
My current pacemaker just has two leads. So it's a conversation of the possibility of putting four leads and being totally paced.
Okay.
Boy, they've really come a long way, haven't they?
Yeah, it's
amazing. Yeah.
Have there been any medications that you have to be, you know, that you're taking as a result of all this?
I mean, maybe antibiotics, right?
Well, I would think anytime we have a...
And steroids, and I mean, is it something that you have to take all the time or just, yeah?
Well, I take one medication to control the atrial flutter, the AFib.
Okay.
And then I take an aspirin a day. But those are the only two. I only take two medications for my heart, which is really good. So
yeah,
that's not bad.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But that medication for the AFib, that really slows you down and gives you lack of energy. Correct.
Yeah, I mean it can make you feel like you're dragging an anchor kind of behind you throughout the day. But I've learned to kind of work around it. And thankfully, the newest pacemaker I have is in a passive pacing mode. So my heart rate can go up and down
whenever
it needs to due to activity.
Yeah.
Wow.
So because the first three were... paced. So I was set. I was like 75 all the time.
Okay. Right. And then you have a cardiologist now, right, that you follow up with?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what is he or she, what are they doing for you now?
I see them twice a year, which is, I know people are going to be like, how do you have such a serious problem and I don't see your doctor twice a year?
Yeah.
Well, because you got that thing that's, right, it's sending him stories so that if there's a problem, you can go in an emergency, right?
Yeah, well, the newest one is actually Bluetooth.
Oh.
And I have a remote control with it. And it's got an app on my phone. So every month, it alerts me that I have to scan like I'm doing a price check at Walmart. And it's really neat. Yeah, you scan the pacemaker and it sends a report right to the doctor.
That's amazing.
And if they see any problems, they call me within 36 to 48 hours.
Okay.
Wow.
And then what else is the cardiologist doing for you?
They just remind me to keep up with the checks every month. And
okay.
Just to monitor myself.
Okay.
Because I'm not good at knowing when I'm hurt. I actually, the fourth pacemaker I had, I killed completely. And I didn't even notice until I went for a routine checkup.
And they didn't notice?
Well, that was when They weren't checking until they saw me in the office.
Okay.
The pacemaker wasn't sending reports to them like this new one does.
Okay, okay. So you said that was the fourth one. How many have you had?
I'm on my fifth one now.
Wow, wow, that's amazing.
I'm going for 10. That's my goal.
Okay. How often do you have to have them replaced?
And they last anywhere from 5 to 7 years.
Okay. Well, I know batteries last longer when they're cold. Maybe you should live near a refrigerator. All right. And then
I should.
Any other cardiac procedures that you've had done or are thinking of having done?
Last year was crazy because I had a new procedure done called a cardiac ablation.
Okay.
And that was, they did that to repair, to try to stop the AFib. And what it is that's a cath procedure. And we went in, and it took 9 hours, sadly.
Oh, 9 hours?
Because 9 hours.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that.
Me and the cardiologist were both shocked.
You're
going
to have to explain that.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
But what happened was they went up one artery on my left side, and it dead-ended because it's just been... I've had multiple casts throughout the years.
Okay.
So there was just scar tissue that blocked that artery. So they had to start again and come up the right. Well, they went in and they mapped your heart out.
Right.
And then they get to see where the electrical interferences are happening. And a lot of the electrical interferences were happening on scars that were left on my heart from different surgeries, from the original surgery.
Okay.
So what they do is they go in and they burn those scars with a RF probe, and they're just tapping in millimeter by millimeter.
Okay.
And I actually have a video of this procedure. And when they got the right side of the heart, then they ended up going to go over to the left, and forgot about the fact that I'd had a mustard procedure. And the mustard procedure, what they did back in 85 was they put a leather pad between the two sides of the heart.
Okay.
And so my heart has grown around this leather patch. So a cardiologist had to take a RF probe, which is not meant to burn leather, and create a hole in that patch.
Oh,
to get over to the other side of my heart.
Unbelievable.
To then start getting the scars and everything over there. And that's, it was a very, very long day. It was such a long day. He took the next day off.
Okay. I would think. Now, you're talking about a lot of previous damage from scarring. Do you have any stents to help keep the arteries open?
Oh, yeah. I think every artery has got a stent.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, when they did the original surgery, it really was, I'm shocked I'm alive. I mean, every cardiologist I've seen outside of the original surgery has told me that it just looks like somebody went in there and like with a knife and just went crazy, just kind of slashing.
Wow.
Well, you know, maybe because it was so new, you know. Well, no,
well,
not 85.
Well, your heart must have been so tiny.
I know, but they said that they were doing even this other procedure back then.
3 months old,
tiny. Picture of an infant. I mean, they were doing it on an infant. I just can't even imagine. Before we continue, I just had another question, and then it kind of went away from me. Oh, yes. Alzheimer's hitting me early. Are you a candidate, or would you ever consider to be a candidate for a heart transplant in the future? And would that be a solution to all of these pacemaker, routine pacemaker replacements and everything else? Would that help you, or?
It's never been brought up, but I've always kind of wondered, like, would that help me?
Mm-hmm.
Or if it would be even a viable option because of my body fighting all the other health issues I have.
Okay.
Am I even strong enough to make it through that kind of procedure?
Got it.
And because there would be added medications, a pretty heavy amount of medications that would come with that. Right. I don't know that I would be a viable candidate for that.
Got it. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I have seen where there's different things that are coming out. There's a magnetic sleeve I saw not long ago. It was in a lab where they made a magnetic sleeve and they put it over a heart that was grown in a lab with stem cells. And the magnets actually contract the heart muscle because it shows the heart muscle. I mean, the heart was not connected to anything to make it pump. And then they put this magnetic sleeve on it and it creates the contractions artificially.
So
that's amazing.
So potentially in the future, they could actually grow a new heart specifically for you based
on your stem cells, and then you wouldn't need the
anti-rejection medications.
Right.
But that
everything's in the future.
But you know what? You sound like a future man.
And stem cells, I could possibly, that would be a more viable option.
Okay.
Would just to be to get a stem cell transplant because they are free radical cells.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they would go to the heart and do as much repairing as they're able.
Right. Well, it does sound like there's, you're a very positive person. Your family seems to also just have that positive energy. So, I think your future is, very bright. I was just kind of wondering, for new parents who have found out that their child has this condition, what advice or tips would you have for them?
Just stay as positive and as strong as you can. And the technology has advanced so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's advancing so much, so fast every year. Even I'm having trouble keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ablation procedure I had last year it freaked me out and blew my mind because they never stopped my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to do all this repairing like on a running engine. Like, it was crazy.
Were you awake during this?
No, I was knocked out.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I lied to my family because my mom had my phone. And I use a social media scheduling app.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to disable that before I went into surgery.
Okay.
So as I was in surgery, my phone was still posting.
Oh.
Different things were going on Facebook and all this stuff. And when I came out of surgery, she goes, "Your phone kept posting stuff."
Yeah.
And I told her, she's never been in a cath lab, and I don't know if anybody has. But when you go in, there's a big TV wall that'll be right above you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all the monitors that sit up above you for a doctor to see really good. And I told my family that I had got my phone mirror to one of those monitors and I had a wireless keyboard and I got bored.
So while they did their thing, you were online posting.
That's funny. Yeah. That's funny. So, you do use social media then to help educate others in understanding this disease, right?
Yes.
I was going to say, if people want to follow you, is it okay if I tell them what your Instagram handle is?
It's DREX Angels and Warriors.
Okay. And that's because you're an advocate for many, many different things, including ending the stigma for HIV. And, we applaud your work with that as well. It's
right. In case our listeners didn't catch the first episode that we interviewed you, when you had a blood transfusion as a baby, before the standardized testing became into effect, you received blood tainted with HIV, and now you also live with that disease, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, just in case our listeners missed the previous episode.
In addition, you're an author. So people can pick up their copy of Operation DREC on Amazon, and it's available on Kindle. And you can hear all about the times DREC put his poor mother through the ringer, yes.
And on the floor.
Yes. And also, DREC is, you're raising money and you've had fundraisers to get toys for kids that are in the hospital because you can kind of, I'm guessing, sympathize with them as well. It's just amazing how much you get done, you know, given everything that's going on. You just, you know, you're doing you.
Yes, we're very much in awe, yes, of everything that you can.
And inspired.
Yes, inspired by everything that you do and that you can participate so heartily. Can I use the word heartily?
No.
Okay. In life. Mm-hmm. With all of this, you know, that's kind of like on your shoulders. But
right. And we look forward to hearing what, you know, what comes next.
Yes, absolutely. Maybe we'll do a follow-up.
Yeah, when the next book comes out.
Or the magnet.
Or the movie.
Or the magnet gets put around your heart. Pum, yeah. Pum, 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 pum.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I would like to thank you very much, Derek, for taking the time to join us again.
Yes, thank you, Derek. It's been a pleasure spending this time with you and getting to know you a little bit better. And I know that the information that you've shared with us today is going to be invaluable to others out there.
Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share the story and hopefully help some families that are going through possibly having a kid with some heart conditions and stuff. And there's a lot that can be done now. There's so many new procedures and there's stuff that, I mean, it's really getting to a level of almost sci-fi,
yeah,
of what can be done. So
the parents shouldn't be worried. Just trust the doctors and move
forward.
Find
a good doctor.
Find a good doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, when I had my surgery done, it was pretty much sponsored by Ace Hardware, and there was power tools, and I mean, it was a lot of really, really rough stuff. And I'm still to this day, like, I'm terrified to go to the airport.
Oh,
I'm not fun to travel with at all.
You light up like a Christmas tree, huh?
Oh, yeah. Every bone in my chest has got staples in it.
Oh, wow.
And there's two sets of cables that are in my chest, and there's a battery pack. So I'm definitely the one that gets pulled to the side, and let's have a talk.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. There is a, Jean could tell you about it. There's some kind of a card you can get. What is it?
Well, yeah, at the TSA website, you know, you can have an information card, but that doesn't really...
What about the TSA pre-check thing? If he signs up for that?
Yeah, still, they're going to take the time because...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, okay.
Anyway. Yeah, and I have a card that it states that I have a pacemaker and everything and gives them serial number and
okay,
all that. Like, if there was ever a question, like, but it looks very, very, very bad. An X-ray of me looks very rough.
Yeah, I had an X-ray at the dentist recently, and they're like, "Do you know how much hardware you have in your neck? It's fascinating." It's like, okay, people, back to the teeth.
Back to the teeth.
Back to the teeth. Yeah.
Well, if you wanted to share any pictures or that ablation video with us, we could post that on your web page as well for when this episode goes live.
All right. I can send you the video. It's kind of weird when you're looking at it because it doesn't look like a heart, but it's the left and right two chambers of the heart. And you'll see it kind of looks like a sonar at the beginning. And it's, I think it's like 48 seconds, but it's a 9-hour procedure condensed down.
Okay.
But then you'll see it light up with little yellow dots. And that's them burning where they burn.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that
and
would be good.
And there's thousands of little dots that light up.
Wow. That sounds great.
Wow. Well, and I can understand why that was scary. Yeah.
Great. Well, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.